In Acts chapter 2, we are discussing what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost was sent. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." What did that mean? I'm letting you think about it for a second, because I don't think any of us can really define what that means. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is coming upon you. There's no limit to that. It's infinite. And we start to see manifestations of that. And on the day of Pentecost, what a little bit of the power of the Holy Ghost unleashed. In Acts 2:2 through 4, there's three things that happened almost simultaneously. There, first of all, came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And that was something that got everybody's attention. That was there, the 120 that were there, that were waiting in Jerusalem for the Holy Ghost. And in verse 3, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they weren't quiet about it. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And like we said, they were noisy. There's a noisy bunch. And there were, at this Feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem, devout Jews from all over there to celebrate that feast. And they all were amazed because they heard these Galileans that David was just talking about speaking in their own languages. And they asked the question, what meaneth this in verse 12? And some said, well, these are drunk. These are full of new wine. And Peter, now filled with the Holy Ghost, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he didn't have a sermon prepared. But the Holy Ghost had a sermon prepared, and Peter voiced it. In verse 14, we'll read, but Peter, this is Acts 2:14, but Peter, standing up with the 11 other apostles, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Think about it. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and in signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, Jesus of Nazareth, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David, and they all, when he hit the word David, they all listened because they all respected David. David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, Peter continues, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, speaking of David, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And that was one of the things that we read back in Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So Peter says there in Acts 2:32, we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That was the end of the sermon part of it, but that wasn't the end of Peter speaking to him. We'll get to that sometime down the road. I want to pick up in verse 29, where we left off a couple of weeks ago, that Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, continues to expound the words of David. He's already quoted him from Psalm 16, and it says in Acts 2:29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So here we find that the Holy Ghost has Peter point out in plain language facts about David. And the children of Israel all had knowledge of David as being a great and well-respected king of Israel. They didn't have any ill thoughts about David. I don't think any of us do. Okay? He's a man after God's own heart, we read there in Acts 13, I think about 22 or somewhere in there. The Holy Ghost has Peter describe David as a patriarch. This word patriarch is only found twice in Scripture. It's found here in verse 29 of Acts 2, and also in Hebrews 7:4, and in Hebrews 7:4, the reference is to Abraham. Patriarch, as applied to David, is a title of honor and denoting high respect for the illustrious founder of the royal family of Israel. That's the way they viewed David. So The Holy Ghost then has Peter point out that David is not risen from the dead, for his sepulcher is with us unto this day. In verse 30, the Holy Ghost has Peter point out that David was also a prophet. Did you know that? Well, you should, because it says so right here. Knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, that is, the throne of David. So we find that David, he wrote the 16th Psalm, and David wrote in Psalm 16, 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. In verse 31, Peter explains that David wasn't speaking of himself, but of Christ. He says, he, that is David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. So twice in this psalm, sermon, David has reference David's words of Psalm 16. Here in the Acts 2:31 and also in Acts 2:27. Now, I want to stop here for a moment. The 3.5 years that the Lord was with these disciples who became his apostles, you think he ever taught them anything out of the Word of God? He is the Word of God. It was an all-day thing, every day. And it's kind of amazing then we find David quoting all the scriptures, probably not having even an old copy of the Old Testament with him, but they were in the temple. He had access to it, but he'd heard it preached, the sermons, the words Jesus spoke to these apostles for 3.5 years. So Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was inspired to say what he said to these apostles. Peter just picks up, now that he's filled with the Holy Ghost, quoting Old Testament, but was like common language to him. These have been repeated so many times to him. And so here in Acts 2:32, the Holy Ghost now has Peter point out to the 11, along with the 11 apostles standing with him, and the rest of the 120 now filled with the Holy Ghost. It was kind of like a choir behind the apostles, behind Peter. They're all there. It's kind of hard to argue with this bunch. They're probably still going off and speaking in tongues and everything. And they're listening to Peter, don't get me wrong. And so they're right there, and Peter states in Acts 2:32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Points to the other apostles, he points to the 120. We saw it, we saw him. That's what a witness is, okay? 45 verses in Scripture mention the word witnesses. 45, interestingly, is the number of preservation. A witness preserves the facts that they've seen. Now, we all know that somebody witnesses something and somebody else witnesses the same thing. They have different perspectives of what they saw. But we've got 120 here. Viewpoints, they've all witnessed resurrected Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, all the 120 now filled with the Holy Ghost, that they would be witnesses of Jesus and of his resurrection, and that the Holy Ghost would give them the power to do this. Okay? So on the day of Pentecost, this was exactly what was happening when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Again, Jesus' last words to them before he ascended in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Who was he talking to? All of them. Ye shall be witnesses. Okay? And Peter was just confirming this fact here in Acts 2:32, saying this, Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. As witnesses of Jesus' resurrection, they were also preserving the fact that Jesus was indeed risen from the dead. And we know by the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesus was risen from the dead. And in 120, now all filled with the Holy Ghost, were witnesses to this fact. They may have witnessed him alive because he sold himself alive after his own passion by many infallible proofs for 40 days. They might have witnessed him being alive several times during his 40 days. We have a record in Scripture of about 12 of these visits Jesus made during that 40 days, and we went over those when we talked about it. But I'm sure in my own mind that he just didn't wait around. He appeared to several on the first day of his resurrection. The two Emmaus disciples didn't know exactly who he was at first till he revealed himself to them. Were the two Emmaus disciples part of this 120? We're not told, are we? I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't part of that group. Twice in his closing words of his Holy Ghost-inspired sermon, and it was a power-packed sermon, I was thinking about this. Probably one of the first sermons that I was conscious and paying attention a little bit to what Brother Hill was saying was in the white church. He used to sit right here. And the front of the church would have been back there. And the pulpit would have been off in the corner on the left-hand side. That's where the pulpit was. And then there was the choir, little choir loft. And I think the organ might have been on the other side. I don't remember. But Brother Hill was preaching. And he was towards the end of his sermon. And I'm a little guy. I don't know how old I was. Maybe 4 or 5, maybe 6 even. And I'm listening to him and I'm thinking, he believes what he's saying. This guy is really believes what he is saying. I mean, he must be telling the truth. He's believing all this. That wasn't my impression. That's one of my first impressions. Well, what do you think it was that I was seeing that was the power of the Holy Ghost through our pastor, Brother Hill? And we've witnessed it many times in almost every service. I mean, we better be in every service. The power of the Holy Ghost. Why are you coming here? It's not a dead place to come, right? Okay, you know that. It's alive. And what's being said has got power behind it because of the Holy Ghost. And so Peter's power-packed sermon here was the first Holy Ghost sermon these people had ever heard, besides what Jesus had told them. And the Holy Ghost inspires Peter to know where Christ now is, that being exalted to the heavenly summit and sitting on the right hand of the majesty on high. Look at Acts 2:32. Peter says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Peter, again, in verses 34 and 35, is quoting a psalm of David that Jesus himself also quoted. And they all were familiar with the Psalms. And that was Psalm 110:1, where this quote comes from. It says there in Psalms 110:1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Jesus quoted the same psalm. Peter and all the apostles heard Jesus quote the same psalm. You find that in Matthew 22:44, also in Mark 12:36, and the same story is told in Luke 20:43. So let's get to the concluding verse of his sermon, but it wasn't the concluding point that was made by Peter. It's just the last words of his sermon is found in verse 36. Therefore, Acts 2:36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. I bet it was so silent for a moment, you could have heard a pin drop, a feather fall. It was that quiet. And so this concluding statement, this concluding sentence in verse 36, this Holy Ghost inspired verse of Peter's first sermon is packed with many, many facts. And we're going to look at them. Brother Hill taught us that the words therefore and wherefore are very significant. That these two words, wherefore and therefore, take into account all that was just previously said, and they place a spotlight on what is about to be said, the words that are just about to be to follow. It's kind of equivalent to what James sometimes says, you know, in his testimonies. I said all that to say this. He's putting the spotlight on what's going to say next. Did you know that? Did you realize that, James? That's a therefore statement. Yeah, okay, well, that's what it is. In verse 36, we find the last of four therefore statements in Peter's sermon. So he's put a lot of spotlights on in this sermon. And each therefore statement builds up to the next one. The first therefore in Peter's sermon is found in verse 26, where the Holy Ghost places the spotlight on what David said concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. And we'll read the whole sentence. It starts in verse 25, Acts 2:25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore, verse 26, did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. This was quoted from Psalm 16, as we pointed out a minute ago. All the house of Israel that heard Peter preach his first sermon had the highest respect for King David and what he wrote in the Psalms. Peter then went on to tell them that the patriarch David is both dead and buried, and that his sepulcher is still with us unto this day. He tells them that in verse 29. He can take them and point out exactly where David is buried, okay? And so he says these words of David's psalm were not a reference to David himself. Then in in 2, verse 30, the Holy Ghost inspires Peter to proclaim the second therefore of his sermon. Again, he references David in verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, speaking of David, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. The Holy Ghost has Peter note here that David prophesied of Christ being resurrected to sit on his throne in glory. In verse 32, Peter further points out again that all 120 with the apostles had witnessed seeing Jesus very much alive after his death. So the third, therefore, in Peter's Holy Ghost-inspired sermon, also points out the fact that David wasn't sitting on the right hand of God, but Jesus is. We find this in Acts 2:33. Therefore, take all these facts I've just pointed out to you. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstools. In verse 36, the Holy Ghost then has Peter make his final and fourth therefore statements. It's like the grand finale of the fireworks show, if you will, this one verse. You know, when it gets all done with the fireworks show and they had the bombs go off in the air and they shoot as many off as they can all at once and it gets quiet. Everybody cheers and claps and wants more. Well, here's the fireworks statement, Acts 2:36. And here the Holy Ghost has Peter place the spotlight on the fact that this same Jesus of Nazareth, who ye of the house of Israel crucified, is both Lord of lords, King of kings, and Christ the Messiah. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So, notice how the Holy Ghost inspires Peter here. He has Peter address all the house of Israel. I'm talking to you, okay? And that's all that was there, was all the house of Israel. All the house of Israel, the phrase, all the house of Israel is found 15 times in Scripture, and the words the house of Israel is found 120 times in Scripture. You can look up those meanings if you want. 15 is the number of rest, and 120 is the number of limit. Well, here in Acts 2:36, the house of Israel addresses all the descendants of Jacob, meaning Jews from every nation under heaven, those that were found mentioned in Acts 2:5, because they'd come from all over, that were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. All of you who've heard Peter's sermon, we mentioned a couple, 3 or 4 weeks ago, that potentially 30,000 or plus people could have heard Peter speak here. Not a one of the listeners in attendance that day of Pentecost that heard Peter's sermon was left out. All the house of Israel, okay? Everyone who heard Peter's sermon that day was singled out by the Holy Ghost to know something. There was a responsibility from hearing Peter's sermon, wasn't there? They were to know something, at least learn something from his sermon. And they were to know assuredly something. The Greek adverb here translated assuredly is as follows. It's number 806 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it means to know something without any hesitation or possibility of mistake or without the fear of contradiction. You are to know something assuredly. No, assuredly. In other words, by the power and inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Peter in his sermon was making the declaration and announcement to all the house of Israel the impossibility of escaping the fact that Jesus Christ, whom ye crucified, is the Messiah, and he is very much alive. And how many of these people he was addressing had witnessed that a few weeks before? In Acts 2:36, we find the ninth time Peter mentions God in his short Holy Ghost-inspired sermon. And God here means God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. And there are 175 God hath verses of scripture. If you want to look them up, God hath done this, God hath done that, God this. Well, the children of Israel, in other words, all the house of Israel, knew the following concerning God the Father. They knew what Moses said in Deuteronomy 1:10, that God hath multiplied you. And they know also from Deuteronomy 2:7 and many other scriptures that God hath blessed you. Your buttons can pop out on that one if you're one of all the house of Israel. Another thing he told them in Deuteronomy 3:18 and in other places, God hath given you the land of Israel. They're not going to take it away, even though they're trying to on this very day. It ain't going to happen. God hath given it to Israel. And then this one will almost make you cry, Deuteronomy 7:6. God hath chosen you to be a special people unto himself. Okay. They're the apple of his eye. Right, Arthur? Amen. That's that verse you gave me. I think, what was that verse? Zechariah something? 2:8, yeah. So here in Acts 2:36, the Holy Ghost by the mouth of Peter makes it known to all the house of Israel that God hath done something else that you should be aware of. God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, this is the third time in verse 36 that Peter mentions the name of Jesus in his sermon. In 2:22, Peter says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth." There's no doubt. There were a lot of Jesuses found in Scripture, if you look. There's only one Jesus of Nazareth. So there's no question who this was, he was referencing. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." You know something. Okay, we're underlining and highlighting the fact that is Jesus of Nazareth we're talking about here. In Acts 2:32, Peter tells all the house of Israel, this Jesus, the one he's talking about, Jesus of Nazareth, hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And now here in Acts 2:36, Peter makes it clear that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And I don't want you to come away with this today thinking that Peter only mentions Jesus three times in his sermon. Because if you look at it, Peter calls Jesus Lord in Acts 2:20, Acts 2:21, verse 25, also verse 34 and 36. Peter calls Jesus him in Acts 2:22, Acts 2:23, and Acts 2:25. Peter calls Jesus he in Acts 2:24, 2:25, and 2:33. Peter calls Jesus his twice in Acts 2:31. Peter calls Jesus Holy One in Acts 2:27. Peter calls Jesus Christ in Acts 2:30, Acts 2:31, and 2:36. So you might come up with a different count than I did, but I find Jesus mentioned by the different above names 20 times in Peter's sermon. 20, as you know, is the number associated with redemption. And so this sermon of Peter's was used by the genius of the Holy Ghost to prove to all the house of Israel what the prophet Isaiah said, what he was inspired to write concerning Jesus in Isaiah 49:26, that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Jacob is another name for Israel. The Holy Ghost also inspired Isaiah to mention Jesus, called the Mighty One in Isaiah 1:24, in Isaiah 30:29, and Isaiah 60, verse 16. And Isaiah 60:16 ends with these same words that we just read in Isaiah 49:26, that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. You think they had any doubt at the end of this sermon who Jesus was? We'll get into that a little more. We might run out of time. I'm going to give you an expounded translation of this verse, Acts 2:36. An expounded translation is a grouping of translations together to come up with this. Therefore, the whole nation of Israel must understand beyond all doubt that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom he crucified. Again, our version, the King James Version of Acts 2:36 reads, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. What a statement that the Holy Ghost inspired Peter to make here, that Jesus is both Lord and Christ. The terminology Lord and Christ is only found this one time in Scripture. It has a double meaning, which we don't have time to get into today because we're bell's going to ring and I'm going to quit. But we'll get into that next time, Lord willing. Look it up. Study it out a little bit. You'll appreciate the time you spend on that.